Is this true? I've read that the security on the new iPhone is going to be the best of its kind.
Absolutely.
And do you know how I read that?
How?
A leak on the internet. Do you see the irony of that?
I do see the irony of that.
Hello! And welcome to the podcast, the first 30-plus minute Apple conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Oh my gosh, it's all happening. Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria. Joining me today, just when he figured out Watch OS 2, they go and release Watch OS 3. Leander Cady is with us.
That's exactly right.
That is so true.
Also joining us, I'll soon be FaceTiming him from my shower on my all-new iPhone 7. Buster Kine is here.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
I got a brand new shower cap just for you. That's all I'll be wearing. We got our reactions to the iPhone 7 event all primed for you guys. We're coming up hot off the heels of the event. We haven't done this in a while, actually. And so this episode, we're going to be going through all the major stuff that Apple announced and just talking about our impressions, our reactions, what we think, what we're spending our money on. I know we've done this in the weeks past, but now we actually know what Apple has released, and there are some surprises here too.
Right.
AirPods, anyone? Didn't see that coming. So before we jump in, let's just jump right into iPhone 7 stuff, Leander. But before we do that, why don't you tell us a little bit about Tunneling Bear.
This is a bear that I have spent my hard-earned cash on.
Oh my goodness.
And I'm a big, big fan of Tunnel Bear. It's a VPN. It's a virtual private network and absolutely essential if you do any kind of Wi-Fi surfing in public. If you go to a coffee shop, you've got to be using a VPN. If you're at the airport departure lounge, you've got to be using a VPN. And Tunnel Bear is the easiest and the most reliable VPN that I have used, and it's the only one that I put my own money behind. Also, Mother Bear, Mama Bear, Mama Caney, she's also a big user.
Mama Caney. If you needed any other endorsement besides that, I don't know what you're looking for. Mama Caney likes
it. She was actually the one that introduced it, endorsed it for me. She didn't introduce it because I'd heard about it before, but when she was using it and paying for it, that's when I decided I got to get in there too.
So Mama Caney knew the kinds of illegal activities you were performing online.
I don't use it for illegal activities.
And she said,
I use
this is what my son needs.
I use it purely for guarding my privacy and sometimes for popping up in the UK when I want to catch a bit of the old BBC.
Hopping in there and stealing a bit of the BBC,
I listen to the radio. They've started geofencing their streams now, so if you want to listen to the radio, bummer. Which I've been doing it for years, and they'd actually been they weren't checking that kind of stuff before, but because you've got to have all UK residents pay a license fee, so I got to find out maybe there's a way to pay it because I love it. It'd be like sponsoring NPR or the local. I'm getting off a little bit off point now.
There's enough people paying for the BBC already.
I don't know,
isn't there some Kinneys still left in the UK?
Just one. Just my brother, BBC? And I'm not sure if he's paid his license fee. Shouldn't say that in public.
Is anybody in the Kinney clan and paying for the BBC? Is there anyone?
Well, we used to stand there at the curtains, looking out the window for the detective van. They send around these vans to see if you're actually watching or not. You paid your license fee. But anyway, we digress. We digress. Yeah, Tunnel
okay,
Bear.
Yeah, so it,
easiest.
GetTunnelBear.com.
Yeah, go to GetTunnelBear.com. Get a free trial. Highly recommended. Absolutely a must have.
Keep yourself safe. GetTunnelBear.com. GetTunnelBear.com. Oh, my goodness. Let's just dive right into it. We got the iPhone 7s. Leander, let's start with you. Impressions, reactions to the events. What did you think of the iPhone 7s?
Drooling down my front, T-shirt soaking wet.
Of course.
Want it so bad, can't believe it. I'm looking at all the cynical, evolution, nothing new. Looking at other people's accounts, it looks the same. They haven't really changed anything. Crazy, madness. It's like, everything from the camera to the new jet black finish, just awesome. The CPU, a beautiful piece of work, dying to get it.
Which one are you going to get, small or large?
Oh, the large, yeah, definitely the plus.
I know, Kinneys go big or they go home.
I got the big dad pants, giant pockets.
The big dad pants.
I got plenty of room, and I want that camera. I want that zoom camera.
So you were excited about the camera.
Oh, man, yeah. I was just astounded. Speechless.
Please.
Because it's such a... Look at, those breakaway diagrams, and they show all of the components. I mean, it's really an astounding and complex piece of beautiful machinery. I mean, I wish I could break it apart and, tear it up and check it out and see how it works. But, of course, I'd ruin it. And I can't afford to do that. But, I'm looking forward to the teardowns. I think that kind of stuff is just, it just really rocks my boat. And that, the new chip with all the, 3.3 billion transistors, 120 times faster than the original iPhone. And I'm rocking. Oh, iOS 10 is awesome. We've been playing around with the beta. It's really going to be, it's really a nice package. Really, really superb.
I think we're all using iOS 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. iOS 10 is really probably my favorite iOS to date.
Yeah.
And it has a lot of really good, useful features that I use day in, day out. Yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah, right. I'm loving it too. Like on the, I was playing around with photos yesterday on the iPad Pro, and my goodness me, what a lovely experience that is. Really nicely designed, really beautiful. Great way to look at pictures, watch videos. It's really superb, beautiful.
Okay, Leander has to go change his shirt. Buster, while he does that, Buster, is your beard sopping wet? Is just soaked with your own saliva?
I wouldn't say sopping wet, but I was
just damp.
More... Yeah, I thought there was definitely more stuff than we expected. I thought it was way more exciting than we expected, for sure. And I actually don't even think that was the iPhone. I'm more excited about the Nintendo stuff that they announced,
Oh, we're definitely going to talk about that. Actually, we're already off the rails anyway. The Nintendo stuff was a shocker to me. No one saw that stuff
Nobody.
Coming.
Nobody. Yeah. The Super Mario on iPhone, that's insane because, I expected the next Nintendo iOS game to be just slightly less lame than the Miimoto game or whatever that was that they came
right,
out with.
Exactly.
That was so stupid. And so to see them go full blow on Mario that's pretty baller, man. That's dope.
No one was expecting them to bring one of their prime IPs to iOS. And to iOS first, in fact. I'm sure eventually Nintendo will probably bring it to Android as well, but who knows how long that will take. And it's exciting to me because I really love Nintendo. I'm a huge fan of Nintendo. And when I did this interview with Blake J. Harris on Occultcast Second Hour, many of you probably listened to it, and he wrote a book called Console Wars, which is all about the battle between Sega and Nintendo. And one of the things we talked about in that conversation is there's just not very many young people getting into Nintendo because all the young people are buying PlayStations or Xboxes now, which is too bad because there's so many great properties and games on Nintendo that they're not going to get to play. And the conclusion we kind of came to is Nintendo needs to bring... They need to bring it to iOS, and we really didn't think that they would, at least anytime soon. And then here you have them, a year or two later, bringing a Mario game to iOS. And if kids get hooked on these Mario games, maybe they'll go out and buy one of the new Nintendo consoles or be interested in other Nintendo properties. So I just thought this was super exciting. I'm happy for Nintendo. I'm happy for Nintendo fans. I want to see Nintendo survive, and I want to see them thrive. So I'm so happy to see them embrace a new platform, which is really kind of counterculture for them. I mean, they really only ever want to have games available on their own Nintendo hardware. This is really unusual for them to do, but also really exciting. I also found myself with a damp mustache. I wouldn't say I was as drool-covered as El Caney was, but it was not as snooze-worthy as I thought it might be. And I did find myself somewhat caught up in the hype. I wouldn't say the nips were at full staff, maybe a half staff.
Half staff nips, that's still solid,
That's
right?
still pretty good. Yeah. That's still pretty good. Most things only get them up a quarter. So I'd say half is pretty good. And I came out of the keynote thinking I'm definitely getting the 7 Plus, but now I'm not so sure if I'm gonna go with the 7 Plus.
I'm feeling the same way. Funny.
Are you really?
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, mostly because I'm wondering, is the dual lens camera kind of gimmicky?
Oh, interesting. That's similar to what I was thinking.
It's a bit gimmicky. It is a bit.
What?
We'll explain.
I don't think it's a gimmick. I really don't think it's a gimmick, but to me, there's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Like I said last show, I really love the size of the smaller iPhone, and to trade up to a bigger one is a big trade-off because you got to carry that freaking thing around, and it's huge to handle.
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's like, is the trade-off good enough? You know, and that's exactly why I think, is the dual lens camera really that much better than just the single? You know, and I'm like, I don't really know yet. I don't think so.
Leander, what do you think?
Yeah, of course it is. It's totally...
Dude, Leander doesn't understand the pains of the i7 Plus pinch, bro.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's got dad genes.
Right, yeah.
You know, got to reiterate that. No, he could probably carry two of them.
Precisely. There's no trade-off for me. And, you know, I like the big screen much better. Like, the smaller phones now just seem like dinky little doll's toys. So I can't... and my big chubby fingers, you know, I can't... I just can't even use them anymore. So yeah, the size definitely is not a trade-off. And I think the camera, I don't think the camera looked gimmicky. And in fact, isn't it a 3D camera?
Well, they never said anything about that. But yeah, there was, in David Martin's post on Cult of Mac many months ago, he talked about how, yeah, that's definitely a possibility to do 3D imaging with it.
Right. And so this, I think, you know, there's going to be, if they open those, you know, I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, like maybe... There was talk about using it for AR and VR and 3D image capture. I mean, that whole, how do you pronounce it? Bokeh.
I hear people say bokeh, which sounds lovely, but I think it's pronounced bokeh.
Bokeh. So the bokeh effect.
I mean, if you're French, it's probably bokeh. Yeah. I mean, it probably depends on your culture.
It's a Japanese word, isn't it? Bokeh?
Is it?
I think so.
Okay. But, I'll believe you. Sure.
That's a software effect, right? So they're doing that in software.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see how it works in real life because, you know, it's kind of like a green screen. And they talked about this in the keynote. They said they're doing a depth, what do they call it? A depth map. That's what they call it, a depth map. And so it's doing a real-time software effect to figure out where the background is from you in the foreground and to blur that out. And so that's kind of like a green screen, you know, where they apply effects and stuff. So I'm interested to see how well that works. If the background is kind of complex or
if it just looks like a cutout, you know, that's why I'm kind of worried. It'll just, you know, you see
like
a lot of
bad
people,
Photoshop. Yeah.
Well, yeah, kind of, you know, when you see like a lot of people, they apply like the blur effect via, you know, software. It looks like just they cut out the people and then the entire background is blurred. There's no kind of like depth to the blurring. It's just all the same blur. And that looks really bad because a real DSLR, there's a gradient through the blur.
I don't think it's a full software effect because one of the lenses I think is focusing on you and then one of the lenses is focusing behind you.
Yeah, right.
To create
it's
that effect.
Right.
Yeah. So it maybe won't look totally unnatural.
Yeah, I hope it'll look good, you know. I mean, but the thing that bums me out the most about it is that you have to wait until later this year to get that feature, even though you're gonna buy the phone right now. That's just like the biggest disappointment I think Apple's given in a long time. Because that's the feature we were looking forward to most, you know?
Right. Well, they can't. Right. It's why you're buying that phone.
What time frame did they say it was?
They just said later this year.
Well, I figure like October or something like that, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, they kind of put
said
it
later this year. It wouldn't surprise me if it was November or
right,
even December.
Right, cuz I mean, you know, the way Phil Schiller pitched the whole thing was like, and as a bonus, we challenged them to get this depth of field thing. And it's like, really, was it like a bonus challenge or did they not get it done in time and you're like, well, it's going to take us a couple of weeks to perfect the software for it. Which is
funny. Maybe that's why they phrased it that way.
Why they phrased it that way. Because they're behind on the software and they're like, we're going to have to fix this with a software update.
So the other aspect of the dual camera, which I thought was cool, but it wasn't as powerful as I was hoping, and that is the optical zoom. And so I guess there's just the 2x optical zoom. And I was hoping for more than 2x. I was like, for it to be compelling for me, I think it would have to be 10x. Because then he goes on to say, oh, and from 2x to 10x, you can do digital zoom. And okay, but you're losing pixels at that point. Right. Your image is becoming less sharp at that point.
I looked at the Apple website, the preview for it, and it honestly, when they zoom in on the preview, it doesn't look that much cooler from the 2x to the 5x. Like, you can definitely notice, you know, there's more pixelation and everything. So I don't think I'll ever go above 2x when taking a photo.
Yeah, and 2x just really isn't that much more zoom than you would be getting otherwise.
Well, I mean, it's double, right? But, I mean, you know, with a DSLR, you're used to attaching lenses where you can get 10x, 20x, even more.
The lens is I think, what, 50 millimeters instead of like 20? What is the shallow depth of field or the wide angle lens, like 20 millimeters or something?
Yeah, and the telescopic lens is 55, 50, something like that.
Okay, so actually double that is not bad. Going from 55 to 110 is really a significant amount of zoom. Bottom line is we need to play around with this, obviously. This is all just coming off of the event, and there's a lot of unknowns at this point, so we're just kind of going with what we know. But yeah, I'll definitely have to try that out. But if it doesn't have a significant amount of zoom, that was the other thing with the camera for me. I was like, okay, is having the blurry background and the 2x optical zoom worth carrying a larger size phone to me? And
yeah,
to me,
know.
It's just not.
Right. Yeah, that's what I've been thinking, because I was... And also the other thing I'm thinking is there's no way you're going to be able to use lens attachments. A lot of times I'll use an Olo clip or a Moment lens or an Exo lens or something. And there's no, I don't think there's a way that they're going to be able to offer that with the dual lens, right? Unless they just make
it. It's just
going to
look like a pair of giant binoculars that you strap in the front of
Right. It's like, and yeah, it's going to be very complex for them to do something like that.
Maybe they have to design those lenses to be specific to a focal length. So they wouldn't be able to use one lens for
both.
Or one.
Right.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what I think, is they would have to adjust each lens for the telescopic lens and the wide angle. They would have to perfect that. And I don't think you're going to get any lens attachments that are going to work well within the first 6 months, you know?
So, well, let's talk about some of the other features. I definitely want to talk about my favorite one. My favorite one, IP67 waterproof rating, which, for those of you that don't know exactly what that means, it means that this thing is submergible now. You can take your iPhone in up to 3 feet of water, and it's supposed to keep it safe for up to 30 minutes submerged in water completely. So you can finally take it into the hot tub. You can finally take it into the shower. You can take it anywhere. There's water. And I was thinking, oh, man, now I can finally, you know, because I listen to podcasts a lot, and then I can't take my iPhone in there. I have to use, like, a speaker shower or something. But now I can just carry my iPhone right into the shower with me and even watch a movie in there if I want.
And now that it's got dual speakers, like, the sound's going to be so awesome, right?
That's right. It's got dual speakers as well, so maybe it'll sound a little bit better. I kind of wonder how much better it will sound, but...
I wouldn't recommend putting it in water, because the Apple warranty actually does not cover water damage.
Wait a second.
What?
Yeah.
How can... But if you go in there and you tell them my phone was not in water for more than 30 minutes, I think they have to replace it.
I don't know how they can verify that, and it's the same problem that Samsung went through with its other waterproof phones. Was they would say it's you know, rated for, you know, 1 meter for 30 minutes of submersion, but the warranty doesn't cover it if it breaks.
But didn't you have an Apple Watch get water damaged when it plunked into the depth of that river, and then they replaced it for you?
They did, but they shouldn't have replaced it for free. The lady was just being nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe that's like, oh, we're trying to protect your iPhone from accidental spills, but you really shouldn't be using it in the shower.
Dude, I'm going to pour so much champagne on that iPhone 7 Plus when I get it.
That's the first thing I'm going to do, yeah.
Little Wayne.
Pop the cork, and I'm going to spray it down like it was in a Dr. Dre video. both phones are getting a 25% brighter display with a wider color gamut, and the cameras are able to capture a wider color gamut as well. And some of the example images they showed, I have to say I was actually impressed, because they said they were completely not retouched. And the color range on the images they showed looked, I mean, they looked great. They looked better than some SLRs that I've seen.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I really question that, you know, is how did they get that, those pictures so nice? You know, I really do feel like they give them to pro photographers who really take a lot of care into the lighting on their scene. So while you think like, oh my gosh, I can get an amazing photograph from that, the photographers behind that picture know a lot about lighting and just how to maximize the picture, you know?
No doubt. Some of the photo examples they use, I was clearly, you could clearly see that that person was lit from the front with something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm like. Dude, don't expect to get the true picture tone flash. That nice. Right, exactly.
Yeah, right.
They should have given it to Tim Cook,
yeah.
Right?
After a Super Bowl win.
That'd be a true
see
test
if
the
image
camera.
Stabilization works. You know?
Yeah. I forgot about that.
He deleted that picture. Yeah. Didn't
of course he did.
It
was like taking it on an iPhone. It was the worst picture anyone has ever taken at a football game. For those of you that don't know what we're talking about, I'll have to post this in the notes. Tim Cook got really excited at a football game and took a picture that was one of the most blurry pictures ever put on the internet. It looked horrible.
It was,
and he later was so embarrassed he had to take it down. That being said, he probably drank like two wine coolers. He's probably totally hammered. So
after two, whoa.
Yeah, after two. Oh yeah, after two. He was.
Did you see him singing "Sweet Home Alabama" today?
That's right. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I need a gif of that. You know that's
true.
Oh
dude.
Once I saw that, I was like, I'm done. I don't need anything else. I got what I came here to see. That's all I needed. So someone just make me a gif of this Tim Cook singing, and I don't even need a new iPhone. So it sounds like, Buster, you and I are kind of thinking iPhone 7 small.
Well, I'm probably still going to go with the Plus, but I'm probably not going to rush. I'm planning to upgrade regardless, but I'm probably not going to rush out to buy it. That's my plan, you know.
Okay, like, yeah. Okay.
And what color? Are you going to go for the jet black or the black?
If the
or
jet black's
gold?
Available. Okay, so the jet black looks super sexy, but the thing is, you're going to have to keep it in an iPhone case to keep it looking super sexy because it's super, you know, prone to scuffing, Apple says. So I'm kind of like, what's the point? But if you like your iPhone nude, I think it would look really good in jet black.
Yeah, I was thinking the exact same thing. As soon as I saw that, I was thinking, that's the one Papa E needs. But then I saw that the little asterisk on Apple's website, and it does say that because of the high-gloss finish, it is more prone to micro-abrasions, I think is what they called
right.
it. So the more you use it, the more little scuffs and stuff it's going to get. And I don't necessarily want to keep my phone in a case, especially if you get that one, and then you keep it in some ugly, you know, plastic polyurethane case.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a crime to the phone because, you know, Johnny Ive worked so hard on that thing.
Exactly. If you want to make a single tear drop from Johnny Ive's eye, let him see you put that beautiful, shiny black iPhone case into a $2 plastic case.
Yeah, an Otterbox.
Yeah, right. One of those like industrial strength Otterboxes.
All that refined,
that are like 3 inches
shiny,
thick.
Just gone to waste.
Some of the other features. Okay, so we're getting jet black, high gloss, matte black, along with silver, rose gold, and gold. They move the antenna lines just like we spoke about, which I think looks so much better than the current design. We're getting capacitive home buttons a capacitive home button with a new generation Taptic engine, which is supposed to provide more types of feedback, more unique feedback. And they said the keynote, it was supposed to give you unique notifications for more apps and notifications. So it's supposed to alert you in more unique ways. For LED True Tone Flash, they say it reaches 50% farther away. I don't really use the flash all that often on my phone now. Do you guys?
No, never.
Because your Me flash either. Is so weak. It's not, you know, anytime you actually do need your flash, it's not bright enough to, give you enough light to make a difference. It'll just make one area of the picture blown out, I feel like.
Right. Well, now instead of being, 3 feet away, your subject can be 4.5 feet away.
Ooh.
And still receive the same amount of flash. So that's pretty cool. Apple includes a all-new Apple-produced image signal processor, which Phil was super excited about.
Just going so much detail on that.
Yeah. He was
2 billion processes per 2.5 milliseconds.
That's the stuff that people love. That's the stuff that makes
Is
people
it?
Love the
yeah,
technology.
I was laughing.
Were you?
I was laughing.
Were you
yeah.
like,
yeah.
oh my gosh, I gotta get that. I gotta get that yeah. processing power.
Totally, yeah. Absolutely.
And a wider color gamut, as we mentioned, and you'll be able to capture raw DNGs, which is super cool, especially if you like to edit your stuff in Lightroom or something like that. I also thought this was great, a 7-megapixel FaceTime camera up from 5 with optical image stabilization on the front.
What?
Did I catch that right?
I didn't catch that.
They did say OIS.
If they said that, that's awesome because that's going to make so many Snapchats and Instagram stories better, you know?
I agree. I think they did say that. I listened to the keynote a couple times, and I thought that they had mentioned that. And then on the iPhone, we should talk about the smaller iPhone. The camera on that did get larger. Does have a 12 megapixel camera. And I'm going to be really curious to see what the low light performance is like, because some of the example images that they showed, again, to me looked very impressive for a phone. And I don't know if they were just worked well because a professional photographer was hired to light the photos just perfectly.
That's what I think.
And stay within a range that the iPhone can handle. But the photos looked impressive nonetheless and performed in a way that my current phone can't. So I think that even the smaller iPhone is getting a really nice camera, even if you won't be able to create that artificial blur effect. What else do we get here? We should probably mention ear pods are going to be lightning.
The pods. Yeah. What about the AirPods?
Yeah, the whole marquee feature. We haven't even talked about that, have we? The absence of the beloved headphone.
You're saying
jack.
That's a marquee feature?
Well, no, I mean, but that was the whole jack apocalypse, the build up to this. It was like, oh,
jack
my goodness.
Apocalypse.
Yeah, it was like the end of Apple, you know. The company's gone completely wrong. There was so much ringing and hand wringing and gnashing and tearing of rending of clothes. It was, you know, kind of absurd.
I ripped
it?
Off two of my tunics.
I stomped on them. There was a little bit of complaining, I think, today. Not so much, because I guess it got hashed over already.
Yeah, Phil Schiller said it took courage to do this, and he might have been right, but I'm not sure that was the best thing to say
on
stage.
So many people blasted him for that courage line, which kind of, you know, saying it takes courage. I wouldn't say it takes courage, but, you know, I appreciate that Apple is standing by what it believes, you know.
I'm still unsure about this decision. I don't know if Apple's doing it too soon. I am glad that they pretty much covered the pain points, right? They're like, well, we'll have a lightning adapter on your AirPods. And then they're like, oh, we'll give you an adapter too for your other headphones. That was the big pain point for me, right? Because I have earphones that I don't want to not be able to use. But still, it was, I don't know if this is too early to make that move.
So the logic is now that this is going to, the Lightning port is going to be coming to the new MacBooks, right? The new MacBook Pros.
Well, that's the other thing I was wondering about. So how are you going to use your EarPods with your MacBook Pro? Are they going to include
a USB
Lightning adapter on the new MacBook Pros? I doubt it. Why would they? But that just means I'm not going to be able to use my EarPods with my MacBook Pro, which is kind of a bummer.
That is weird, yeah.
Well, this is why people are saying that it's going to be, you know, it's got to be included in the new MacBook Pros, because, you know, it's going to be compatible with the new AirPods.
Or what they'll do, Leander, is they'll include their new Bluetooth W1 chip on the new MacBook Pros and just tell you to use Bluetooth.
Yeah, right.
Which seems like that would be the way they're going, right? Because they don't want to let you use wires anymore. They're trying to go wireless. So
And, you know, wireless charging, right, is the next step.
Yeah, and then wireless charging, and then maybe, yeah, wireless charging would be incredible, especially for a MacBook Pro.
Which would do away with the Lightning adapter.
On the what? Wait, what?
Well, you know, there's been all these patent filings, and I think it's kind of an open secret. They've been hiring, wireless charging experts. They're supposed to be looking at some new long-distance charging technology.
Right, we talked about this on a past show.
Right. So, there were some other rumors as well that they were looking at this for the 2017 iPhone. So, I don't know whether it would apply to a MacBook, because I guess the battery is so much bigger. For the iPhone anyway, you know, you wouldn't have to plug it in to charge it anymore. It would just be charged constantly whenever you're around, like some kind of, you know, microwave transmitter, power transmitter.
And you're saying at that point they could do away with the Lightning adapter.
Well, I wonder, because it's now, you know, because it's used for other things, you know, other peripherals.
Yeah.
For plugging into other stuff. So I don't know. I'm not sure what the consequences of that would be.
I'm glad that Phil Schiller went in and described why Apple's actually doing this, because it doesn't really make a lot. It didn't really make a lot of sense to me. And I don't think it made a lot of sense to a lot of people why Apple was, it seemed like, arbitrarily removing the analog audio jack. But his explanation, I think really did kind of make sense. It's a really old technology. It only serves one function on the iPhone, and that is to let you listen to audio. And
well, there's a square reader.
What's that? Right.
The square reader. There's a couple of other things that it worked with too.
But for the most part, it only serves one function. And with all these new technologies coming out, Apple needs that space to do other things. And so they had to get rid of it. And they also wanted to modernize the music connection because they can allow a digital music stream plus controls plus all sorts of other information over the Lightning ports. Plus it can power your headphones. So even though it does kind of feel early, I mean, I get why they're doing it. And who knows, maybe after we've had it for 2 or 3 weeks, we won't even miss it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely get the distinct impression that no one could give a flying hoot
about it.
Not really, no.
I've seen a lot of people complaining about it online.
Yeah, I know, but when the rubber hits the road, they're going to be whipping their wallet out so fast it's going to hit the ceiling.
You're going to whip that wallet right out. Don't even pretend like you're not. Whip it out. We got the A10 Fusion chip on both iPhones, 64-bit four-core processors. This part was interesting. Two high-core performance cores, which are 40% faster than the A9, and two high-efficiency cores. And then Apple designed a performance controller which switches between the chips depending on the task at hand. So with that, they said you'll get up to 2 hours of extra battery life on the smaller iPhone 7 and up to 1 hour of extra battery life on the 7 Plus. So better battery life. That's a win for all of us, yeah?
Oh, so winning.
Winning. Where's Charlie Sheen when you need him?
Yeah.
Winning. They should have brought him up on stage just for that. And now to introduce the new battery life, Charlie Sheen. He just comes out and he goes, winning. And he hands the mic back to Tim, flexes $500,000 check, and leaves the stage. They also put in a new GPU, which is 60% faster than the A9, they said. And here is one of the interesting parts they went on a little bit about, and that is the W1 chip. So we've heard that Apple was working on their a Apple-engineered Bluetooth chip, and it seems like that's what this is, because they introduced the AirPods, and I believe the AirPods work over Bluetooth. I would imagine that's what they are. And so we don't know much about the W1 chip as of yet, but Phil Schiller did say that it provides a more robust connection, which is a big problem with Bluetooth. I find Bluetooth to be terribly unreliable in a lot of different scenarios. So it will be interesting to see how well this works with Apple's AirPods. I bet it will be absolutely flawless if they designed it to work for this purpose. I bet.
Well, you see how you connect them? It's super smooth. Like, you just connect them to your iPhone. You don't even have to do anything. You just put them near it. Open it, it connects, and then it uses your Apple ID to connect it to all your other devices, your Apple Watch, your iPad. Yeah, it looks super smooth. Yeah.
What do you guys think about the AirPods? Leander, what was going through your head when they introduced them?
Oh, I was like, you know, look at all the sensors. It's got some infrared sensors that knows when it's in your greasy ear canal. It's got microphones for active noise canceling, motion accelerometers so you can do commands, you know, speakers. Microphones so you can talk into it. It looked amazing. I mean, it's like, look at all that technology that's packed into these things that are going to be replacing a fairly, you know, simple and, I thought, outdated set of wired earbuds. I thought they looked amazing. I mean, $160 is kind of steep.
No, it's cheap as f***, man.
Sorry, you're going right there.
No,
right.
I'm serious. That's what I don't get.
Bust out one of my bleeps.
I was just talking to Lewis about this because there's so much hate about the price of the new AirPods. But if you
really people thought they were overpriced.
Yeah, if you look at other competing wireless earbuds that are truly wireless and don't have a wire in between them, they're like $300, $250, and they don't look anywhere near as good as Apple's.
People are raving about, doesn't Sony have some?
I haven't seen Sony. Samsung has some. There's a lot of startups.
Audis just came out with some.
Yeah, a bunch of Kickstarter ones, right?
Yeah, tons of Earin, Dash, a couple other. Samsung has some. There's a few that have health sensors in the ears. They're in the earphones, which I think is weird, but they're all way expensive, man. Like, $160 for some AirPods sounds like a solid deal.
Yeah, when they were introducing them, I thought for sure they were going to be at least $200.
Yeah.
And I thought probably $300.
Oh, I thought they were going to be $400 because a few days before the event, Ming Chi Kuo sent like a note out to investors saying they were going to be priced above Beats headphones, which are, you know, $300. So I was thinking, dang, they're going to be $400 earbuds. Those better be some sexy earbuds. And they're pretty sexy and they're super cheap, you know, and they come with a carrying case. They're pretty nice.
That carrying case is nice because it's, you know, all the battery life you get in there. I don't think you're going to have any trouble, you know, charging and recharging those things because you'll be using them for, you know, like it says 5 hours of listening.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe on a plane, you'd be listening for 5 hours.
I think
there can't be that many scenarios where you're going to be listening for that long.
Yeah.
Then you pop them back in the case, they get recharged.
And, you know, a lot of people are worried about losing them, which I would be too because I lose a lot of stuff. But if you're always keeping your charging case around, you're going to pop them right back in as soon as you leave them. You know.
Right, and they'll be in your, and you just stuff it in your pocket.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't have to worry about battery life because it won't take me more than 4 hours or 5 hours to lose them. They're so tiny. They're so tiny. You'll be taking your vitamins, and you'll be like, wait a second, where'd my ear pods go? You'll have to wait a few hours to get them back.
I'm surprised they don't, you know, I wish they had the Find My Earbuds feature because, you know,
so
if it's a Bluetooth
nice
connection.
If it just blasted it out, you know, so you could
find
it.
Yeah, you could ping it.
That would be nice. I have to say, I do like the way they look, but they do look a little funny.
Right, with
they
that
kinda
stem? They kind of
look like earrings.
Yeah, I think the long stem on them looks really weird. They're sleeker than a lot of other earbuds because a lot of the other competitors are like super fat, you know, because that's where they keep the battery. But Apple chose to put it in the stem along with the eye antenna. I don't know. It just basically looks like somebody cut the wire off of earbuds.
That's exactly what they look like. Mm. I bet you they had to do that just so that they could do beamforming for the microphones because the microphone probably isn't positioned very well, you know, for answering calls and what have you. So they had to have two of them pointing right towards your mouth. And yeah, I kind of feel like I would rather almost not have the microphones to have them be a little bit shorter.
Same,
but maybe it won't be a big deal once I wear them. But I love EarPods. I ever since Apple introduced the EarPods, I've been a big fan of them. I think they sound good, especially for how much they cost. They're dirt cheap now. And also, they're comfortable. They're the most comfortable earphones that I own. And I own some really expensive earphones, and I continually come back to the EarPods because they're so comfortable.
Yeah, I find that they fit my ears really well, a lot better than a lot of, you know, the EarPods with the, you know, adjustable foam things and stuff that you can insert. I don't know. Apple's fit super well for me and they never come out. So I think the AirPods will work really well too.
I think I'm going to buy these.
Yeah. Once
are
I'm
going to get them?
Once I'm like, oh, I got $160 to just throw away. Sure. Yeah, I'll buy those.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, yeah, I guess they are kind of expensive for earphones if you already have a pair that you like.
Right. Yeah. Because I got the Beats Power Wireless 2s right now, and those are just fine. So when I lose those, though, I'll be going to EarPods.
Leonard, won't be long, will it, before they dropped in a river?
Yeah, that won't be very long at all.
On a trail.
Yeah, in fact, somebody on Twitter, I should find out who it was saying we should take a poll and see, we should do like a betting pool and see how long it will take Buster to break his first iPhone, his first iPhone 7.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Yeah, we should definitely set up a pool and like the winner gets like $100 or something.
Oh, dude, that would be great. As long as the pool goes towards Peg for my new iPhone 2, I'm down.
Yeah, I don't know if it will. I think it's going to go to that person.
We can't get 1,000 people in this? Come on.
Actually, maybe we could. Maybe we could get 1,000 people. We can help you pay for that repair, which we know is incoming. Is there anything else about the Apple Watch, or I'm sorry, about the iPhone that we should mention?
The new Touch ID button, I think, is pretty cool, actually.
Oh, the capacitive Touch ID.
Yeah, the pressure sensitivity taptic, you know, feedback is cool, but I think the coolest thing is the Taptic Engine API, which lets other apps utilize it to give you feedbacks with, you know, certain things. So I think it's a pretty big game changer for input methods, and we'll have to wait a while to see how it goes, but I think that could be one of the coolest things. And it goes for it kind of lays the groundwork for the next iPhone. Apple plans to kill the home button, and that really just, you know, gives app developers some time to adjust to that and to make some cool stuff for it.
Yeah, you might be right. This might be the last home button we see.
Yeah, which is kind
of... Or the last actual physical home button we see.
Yeah, and I think it's weird that Apple changed it. If they are going to go to like a no home button design next year, it's kind of weird that they did it, you know, a pressure sensitive button just for this year.
All right, before we move on to Apple Watch, which iPhone are you getting? What color? What model, Leander?
Well, I think I'm actually going to go for the matte black. Oh. I picked up my iPad Pro the other day, and it was so filthy I could barely see through the grime.
Mm-hmm. What color you got?
The screen, it's black, but it's just a screen. It just, and because it's so big, I guess it's so noticeable. I think all my devices are that, you know, as greasy, but because it's so big, it really shows it off. So yeah, that might be TMI, but I think I'm going to go for the matte black.
The right amount of information.
You know, the competition for the jet black. I mean, yeah, that's the thing everyone's going to go for, right? So that thing's going to sell out in a second.
The glossy black.
Yeah.
It is. It's going to go quick.
If you're not there, you know, super ready. And in fact, we're going to have a really good guide on how to do how to make sure you get what you want on order day. There's certain tricks that are, you know, completely. That do work. I use the app. Don't use Apple's shopping app.
Oh, yeah.
The store app. That's definitely the way to do it. Don't go on the website. Website is awful.
Yeah, avoid the website at all costs.
And it just does not work. And you can usually get through on the app. But yeah, and also, while I'm at it, I'll tell you the whole thing.
Yeah, just give us all this information.
Well, go in there and yeah, you know, you have to choose your device beforehand. You can go in and you can sort of reserve it. You can configure it. So you configure the one you want, save it, and then as soon as the orders go live, you hop into that, you know, the thing you saved, the phone you saved, and then just order it right through the app. Make sure your credit card and all your billing information is up to date.
Yeah, because you can do that right now, right? Mm. You can kind of configure it and everything.
If it's live, I haven't checked, but yeah, if it's live, you can go and configure it now, and you know, choose the color and the capacity, the memory, you know, 256 or whatever you want, and. Yeah, you know, and also how you're going to pay for it, you know, because that's another option too this year as well. You know, do you want to get on that upgrade plan where you get a new iPhone every year, or do you want to buy it through the carrier, or do you want to pay for it outright? Do you want it unlocked? There's kind of a few things to think about.
Are you going to buy yours outright, or are you going to?
They don't do subsidized plans anymore, and you know, the whole plan thing. I mean, that kind of got us. We've been trying to switch out of AT&T for years, but we were always like locked into some plan or another. And with all the kids, you know, it's like, oh, you know, mine would come up and up for renewal. But then there's some kids got, you know, isn't going to come up for renewal for another 6 months. Mm-hmm. So we kind of getting it locked in year after year after year. So, yeah, probably going to buy it outright, probably buy it up front, stick it on the credit card.
You know, I've always been a huge fan of just buying them outright so I don't have to owe anyone any money. But since there's no interest and you can just buy them and pay for them over time, it kind of seems like, well, why just give them the money up front? Why not just pay them over time? Right, that way you get to keep more of your money now.
Yeah, that is a good option. That's a really good option. And it works out to be like $1 a day, right, for the high-end ones.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I would say is, we've mentioned this on past episodes, when you buy an iPhone with a credit card, oftentimes your warranty will be extended for a year. A lot of people don't know this about their credit card, but it's a really common benefit of using your credit card to pay for stuff. But the problem is, When you do a payment plan, if you have your iPhone get damaged after the first year and you're trying to go to them to have them replace it, they're going to ask you for a copy of your receipt that shows that you paid for the iPhone in full on that credit card, because that's one of the requirements. And so if you pay for it over time, that's going to be a problem for you. In fact, I'm going through this right now. I'm trying to get my credit card company to replace or to repair an iPhone that I have. And they're asking me for all this paperwork, and I'm trying to like demonstrate to them that, because I paid off the phone, but it took me 20 payments, right? So I'm trying to like demonstrate to them that this phone is paid off, and they're asking me for all this paperwork, and it's a total nightmare because they want all the invoices or all the credit card statements that show that you paid, and then the invoice that showed that you paid for the device in full, and it's like a complete nightmare. So I would say if you are planning on taking advantage of that benefit at a future date, it is better. For that one reason, it is better to just pay for the phone outright and be done with it. That way you can get your free warranty from your credit card company. Buster, which phone are you going with?
Jet black iPhone 7 Plus, baby.
Jet? What? The glossy?
Well, I mean, if it's an option, it looks super sexy, you know, might as well.
It does look sexy. Yeah. It looks like something Batman would wear on his utility belt.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know you're into Batman. Oh, wait, that's Alex East. And I think I'm going with the smaller iPhone 7.
Really? Why won't you do the dual lens, bro?
It just comes down to ball pokage. That's really what it comes down to. I just don't want to have that big arse iPhone in my pocket. The camera is not compelling enough to me. And it took me like probably 2 hours to decide that. I was going over it in my head, going over it in my head. And finally, what I just came down to, I'm like, depth of field and optical zoom, 2x optical zoom is just not enough for me to want to get rid of my smaller phone.
I've been thinking a lot because, you know, I mean, I'm like, is it like that big of an upgrade where, you know, carrying a DSLR or like my Fuji X10 or X1, whatever it is going to be more of a pain? I feel like carrying a DSLR will be more pleasant than trying to stuff a 7 Plus in my pocket, you know?
I think you're right. It's going to give you a lot more options, too. And right. The thing is, if you could control the bokeh effect on the iPhone 7 Plus, I would probably be more inclined to carry around that phone. I think it would be more useful because I don't want Apple determining how blurry my backgrounds are. I want to use the aperture to do that.
It's all going
to
be automatic, so you can't.
Right.
Didn't it look like there was a setting that you could adjust it?
I didn't see one.
There was in one of the screenshots, you know, like during the keynote, there was like, you know, on one of the screenshots, there was a button that looked like you could just turn it on or off.
I think it was just turn it on or off.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe they will be able to let you play around with it in the settings or something. But yeah, I didn't see one. And so that was another reason I was like, yeah, okay, this is kind of a limiting feature for me because you're only going to want to use that blurry background every so often. I just don't think you're going to use it all the time.
Yeah.
So really it just comes down to optical zoom.
Agreed. Yeah. And the optical zoom isn't super great. So
it's just not optical zoomy enough.
Yeah.
I need more zoom. I need some more zoomage. Okay. Let's move on to the Apple Watch Series 2. So now we have Series 1, which is what you probably own already. And actually, no, I take that back because the Series 1 is actually different than the one you own already.
Technically, yeah.
So there's a Series 1 and there's a Series 2. And the Series 1 has been updated with the same dual-core processor that they're going to be putting in the Apple Watch Series 2. So I don't know what you call our Apple Watches.
The OG Apple Watch.
The OG Apple Watch. It might as well have a click wheel on it because they're all getting updated. And not really a whole lot to talk about here, and it got a lot of minor updates, and I think if you don't have an Apple Watch, it's probably, and you were thinking about getting one, now is definitely a good time to do that, but, I mean, Buster, what do you think?
I disagree. I think Apple made all the moves they needed to with Apple Watch Series 2.
Okay.
GPS, super huge, and because the Apple Watch is really positioned as a fitness device more than anything, and I think they really focused on that with the Series 2. They made it, you know, more water resistant. They also added GPS. And then they have the Nike Plus version, which makes it an even better running watch. Yeah. So I think the Apple Watch 2 is actually maybe the best running watch out there. We'll have to see. But it definitely...
Oh, really? More than the Garmin?
Totally.
People love the Garmin.
Totally. I mean, I love my Garmin, but I mean, this one, now it plays better with my phone too. Like, you know, so... It has everything you need. I would just be a little bit worried about it being more scratched than my Garmin Tank Phoenix 3. But overall, I think the Apple Watch Series 2 has better features than any smartwatch there.
It's a compelling package when you compare it to other stuff.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think if you're into fitness, it's like, oh yeah, like this is the one to get for sure. But if you know you just want like a smartwatch, maybe it's not super awesome yet because... Yeah, there's nothing like game changing on it.
It was interesting that they focused in on the fitness thing because I think it was kind of no one really sort of knew what the focus of the Apple Watch 2 was going to be before the keynote, right? Because it could have been gone in several different areas. Like maybe they're going to focus on the smartwatch aspects, or you know the fitness or something else entirely. So the fact that they focused on the fitness, you know, I think shows that this is where it's really resonated as a device, right? This is where it's sort of changing the game is in the fitness area. And yeah, I think like Buster says, it hits everything. Like people were complaining about they wanted Wi-Fi or some kind of cellular chip in it, so it'd give you a lot more connectivity, which would have been the smartphone, the smartwatch route, more for messaging and for productivity and calendaring and whatever else. But yeah, I think the Graham Bauer has been writing these weekend columns for us like about the Apple Watch and how it wasn't really that good as a runner's watch, and he's a big runner. runs marathons, and GPS was like, you know, number one feature that he needed to see for that. And it sounds like they've done a really good job of like keeping that, of making it fast, because there's nothing worse than standing there waiting for to get the satellites. Well, takes
even
forever.
On my Garmin watch, that happens. You know, I'll be on a hike, I'll set my hike to start, and then I'll be, you know, 10 minutes into a hike, and then I'll get an alert on my wrist like, oh, GPS is finally ready. It's just like, what? Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? Like,
I wonder how they manage that, because almost every GPS device is super
yeah,
slow.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they use something with your iPhone in tandem. I don't know.
Yeah, that's definitely cool. And also the battery life sounds good too. Like they managed to keep that mm-hmm. up.
And of course, it's now swim proof, waterproof up to 50 meters, which is deeper than most anyone will ever go unless they're dying and floating to the bottom of a river or something.
Or a few.
Or of an ocean. Or dead and floating to the bottom
dragged
of an ocean.
Dragged down by their Apple Watch.
And the best feature of the night, water ejecting speaker.
That was cool. Yeah. That was totally cool.
I'm. It's too bad he didn't whisper that part because it was just so sexy.
Is it gonna like split it out though? Is it gonna be like?
I think so.
You hold your watch up and spits at you.
What was that sound? Your water watch just spraying water everywhere.
I know, it'd be kind of gross.
Speakers were self-ejecting. Sorry.
Yeah, my water is just self-ejecting. Don't let it bother you. It only goes on for 30 seconds and then it stops. And of course, aluminum, stainless steel, and now ceramic has something in common with your toilet.
Ooh.
Except your toilet probably isn't $1,300, which is what the ceramic Apple Watch costs.
That's crazy.
Well, there was no mention of Edition. Have they actually officially discontinued it?
I think they realized nobody wants to buy a $20,000 Apple Watch that's only good for a year.
That's right. Well, because it never made any sense to me.
Well, because we are all saying like, oh, you know, maybe with the addition, Apple will make it so you can upgrade the internals. That's what a lot of people were thinking. So you could kind of keep the casing, but, you know, upgrade to like a new S2 chip or whatever every year. But obviously that's not the plan. So I think they realized, oh, yeah, that's kind of stupid. And you know, it just didn't work as a luxury item. $1,300 for an Apple Watch is a lot to me. You know, and I feel like a lot of people will buy the $1,300 Apple Watch to brag. You never see any stainless steel Apple Watches in the wild. I don't.
I haven't really noticed very many either. Maybe a couple. Most of the ones that I see have the sport straps, which makes me presume that it's the sport model.
The $1,300 ceramic model only comes with a sport strap, which I think is stupid. You know, like at least give me a sexy strap to go with it.
Yeah, or I wonder why they're not allowing you to bundle with another strap like they do, you know, with other Apple Watches. It seems weird they wouldn't even allow you to buy like the steel one together with your ceramic.
Yeah, upgrade that.
Maybe they're not compatible.
Maybe they just Johnny's totally like, bizarre. Oh, those would look too bad together. I can't allow that.
We won't even sell it to you. We won't even sell them those two things together. It looks terrible, terrible. So I'm guessing we're all going to stick with our OG Apple Watches. I don't think any of us are going to update. Leander, you going with ceramic?
Well, yeah, not ceramic. Because I'm going to get one of those cheap plastic clip-on covers that you can buy. And I'll get a white one so I can make it look like a ceramic one. Same with a gold one as well.
There you go.
Yeah, I think the GPS is kind of cool. Because, you know, I think one of the big problems, like, for any kind of, like, outdoor activity... Like, I was totally blown away by that, the hiking app that they demoed during the keynote. Mm-hmm. So the woman comes on and, you know, shows she's hiking. It shows you all the landmarks and it works offline. And it tells you where you are and if you've wandered off the trail, which often happens to me. I don't want to end up confused and
I don't want you to fall off Camelback Mountain again, Al Caney. Oh, that was scary.
Yeah. So that looked really kind of compelling, and I can imagine like a whole bunch of situations where where the GPS would come in hand. I mean, especially for directions and stuff like that. It's good anyway with your phone. So I like following directions on the watch. Like if you're driving, it's actually a really good way to know when to take a freeway, when to turn, when to take the off ramp. You know, have you guys done that? It gives you little knocks on your wrist.
Yeah, I didn't really find that to be useful when I was driving because I was looking at my GPS anyway. But it was handy, like when you're walking.
Yeah, yeah. No, I like it. I think I might upgrade.
Well, the nice thing is the Series 1 is now only $269, which is dirt cheap for an Apple Watch. I think I paid
$450 for mine after sales tax and everything. Remember when they first came out? Like, damn. It was $350 for the 37 millimeter and $400 for the 42 millimeter. So they're cheaper now. The Series 2 are $369, and then the ceramic's $1,300, and I think the steel watch is $600. One of the other things that I think we should mention before we wrap up is I feel like Apple did add a lot of value to their lower-tier products. For instance, the Series 1 Apple Watch is getting the dual-core processor, and then also the iPhone 6S, which is now the old iPhone, is also getting upgraded storage. Like previously they wouldn't offer them with the better storage options, and now you can get 32 gigabytes or 128 gigabytes. So that's cool for people that are buying like the lower tier models. You're getting an upgrade and you're getting more storage than you otherwise would be, because otherwise you'd be stuck with, what were they doing? 16, 64, and 128.
Yeah.
Also, so you'd probably be stuck with 16.
Also, just a heads up, iPads got storage upgrades too for the iPad mini. I think the iPad Air 2, and then the iPad Pro got a $100 price cut on a lot of units, too.
Oh, it did? Yeah. That happened today?
Yeah, just quietly. Okay. Yeah.
And sadly, no MacBook Pro.
Oh, dude. Did you cry after?
I did. How big were the tears? I did get a little teary-eyed. And I just let out just a little moan of regret, and that was it. And then I moved on, because I know it won't be long before I'll be reunited with my brand new MacBook Pro. It's only going to be what? I mean, shoot, it's already September 7th today. It's only going to be another, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks before they have another keynote. It's probably going to be 4 weeks, don't you think, Buster?
Dude, before they have another. So what I'm wondering, because they also updated all the iPads and stuff, what do they have to announce at another keynote? Other than a MacBook with a touch bar. So I don't know. It might just come out as like a silent update, or with like a lot of press behind it with, you know, like exclusive, you know, interviews and stuff that they've
done. It'll have to
be
more Macs. They'll have to have a Mac event.
That's true. There is also the possibility of a new iMac and a standalone Retina display. So they could do another
event. And a Mac
event.
Pro. They could update Mac Pro too, man.
They could have a whole Mac update event.
Yeah. That might be what they're doing. They might have a whole Mac event where they just talk about Macs.
I hope so for you. Just so you can
thank
have
you.
A it's very, freaking awesome
very
life.
Kind of you.
It's a real throwback. That's what, you know, 2011. Whoa.
Since when? Since what?
Well, you know what I mean. Like having how long is it since they've had a Mac only
update? I honestly could not tell you. Do you know? Does anyone know?
It must have been years.
Let's just make up
ago.
A date. It's 2004. It was 2004. I remember it like it was yesterday. Yeah, I have absolutely no idea, but I do know the Mac Pro is getting old as well, and a lot of people are wondering when that's going to be updated.
The Mac Pro, yeah, that's really strange because they haven't updated that at all.
It's
supposed to be like, you know, that's supposed to be like a high-end horsepower, you know, pro user, power user machine, and it's like the chips in it now are really, really old.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense to me anymore because, I mean, you can get a PC that's much less expensive and much more powerful. Because, you know, PCs are always constantly getting updated, or you could build your own. So
couldn't they have made that? I mean, it's kind of a tangent, but couldn't they have made that with an upgradable CPU so that you could swap out the CPU yourself, like, you know, with the latest processors?
Oh, yeah, they could have, but did Johnny want to? Yeah.
Yeah. And not carved out of a single aluminium
tube.
But
the whole idea of the big Pro machine, you know, like the big old G5 with the big door that came off. You know, I mean, the beauty of that thing is that you can get in there and you can stick in a bunch of cards and you can change it around and configure it any way you wanted. I mean, it's like, you know, it's a truck. It's not supposed to be like a sports car. It's, you know, it's a utility machine.
And I do think, Apple, if they want the Mac, or what is it? The Mac Pro? What do they call that now? Mac
the
Pro?
Mac Pro?
Yeah, if they want it to, like,
it's
succeed.
So old, we don't even remember
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, they do like, need what? To what make that more, you know, upgradable to third parties, I think, if they want it to, you know, if they don't want to put the energy into it, they need to at least let third parties have more access to it to upgrade the processor, RAM, all that other stuff. Otherwise, yeah, everybody's complaining. It's been 3 years since, you know, Phil Schiller bragged about, can't innovate anymore, my ass, you know? Like, oh, well, you did nothing with it since then. So, yeah you're right. Yeah.
They just have long innovation cycles. That's all it is. It's a long cycle. And they come out and it's like super innovative. And then it's not going to be innovative for another 7 years.
We've been
years.
Thinking about this for 5 years.
We've been thinking about this for 14 years.
You're welcome.
Can't innovate my ass.
All righty, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. Before we do that, I want to give a shout out to Dmitry Onorin, who says, my name is Dima, I'm coming from Russia. You guys got good Russian accents. He'd love a shout out, Buster.
Oh, hello, from Russia.
No,
I'm from...
Da.
Da, what?
Da, it means yes.
Ah, da, Russian, yes, right? Yes,
yeah. Also, I want to say shout out to Jason Rosenfeld, who says, maybe listening will get me excited about these new devices, but I ordered a Pebble Time today after seeing
what
the watch.
What the hell is your problem? What is your problem? That thing looks like
okay,
poop.
I don't care what Apple released today, ordering a Pebble Time was a big mistake. Yeah. Alrighty, well, that's a little cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what iPhone you're going to pre-order, if you want to come hang out on Thursday at midnight while we all do our pre-orders, come follow us on Twitter. I'm at Arifon, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys Thursday nights. Woo. Do my pre-order. I expect you guys to come hang out with me.
Romantic.
Maybe I'll FaceTime you from my shower.
Next
Oh, I can't do that yet. My phone would break.
What's up, Leander?
What's up,
hey,
Leander?
Hey, Buster. Hey, Fun.
What's going on?
Not much. Give me caffeine. Feel very, very weird.
You're not drinking caffeine?
No.
Why?
I went to see the doctor. I was getting these terrible headaches.
Yeah.
They were inexplicable. And he said, how many cups of coffee are you drinking a day? And I was like, I don't know, 15.
is that too many?
Yeah. And then I have to chug NyQuil at night to sleep Z-Quil. So it's like, yeah, I think maybe you should cut back on those a little bit. It's either that or get a CAT scan on my brain to see if there's a brain tumor.
Oh, shoot.
So you're hoping that this fixes coffee, it?
Yeah, so I said, well, maybe I'll try the caffeine first. And the Z-Quil.
Do you drink any water?
Yeah. Well, I mean, mostly in the form of tea and coffee.
Okay, but those are both caffeinated.
Yeah, true. Right. Well,
they dehydrate you, don't they? Maybe you just are not getting enough water. I always get bad headaches when I'm not hydrated.
Yeah. Well, I do drink, I drank a glass of water the other day.
Oh, well, then that's not it.
I don't know, I suppose, am I supposed to drink 8 glasses a day?
Yeah, I drink water pretty regularly throughout the day. And the thing is if you're drinking caffeine, then it just goes right through your system. So you end up being dehydrated anyway. Let me ask you this, though. When he said it might be a brain tumor, did you say, it's not a tumor?
No.
Or did you totally blow your opportunity to legitimately use that line?
I don't know that line. What's it from?
It's from Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, Kindergarten Cop.
I haven't
Schwarzenegger.
Seen it. I recognize it was Schwarzenegger. I've never seen Kindergarten Cop.
Well, of course you recognize the accent with my spot-on delivery.
Oh, don't do it. The kids do it all the time now. Put the cookie in the chopper. Hanging out with the boys is just like, it's just, a constant Schwarzenegger.
Schwarzfest?
Schwarzfest, yeah.
Why do your kids like Arnold Schwarzenegger so much?
I don't know. They've mutated it, so it's really, really peculiar, I don't know why. One of them started doing it, and now all the others do it, so it's become a
caught
thing.
On.
Yeah. Infectious.
Like, please stop. Yeah. Please.
Oh,
stop.
Right. You should see Tracy. She really loses it sometimes because it drives her crazy.